Hey there, Wizzes, and welcome back to episode 242 of the Food Biz Wiz podcast. Today, we are talking about sales strategies, and I am sharing three lessons that we can borrow from the Girl Scouts. Now, I know this sounds like a funny topic, but I gotta tell you, San Francisco was overrun with Girl Scouts selling their seasonal cookies earlier this spring. I couldn't stop thinking about it. I had this firsthand seat watching what worked and what didn't with these young girls' sales strategies. And it really got me thinking about how we can use what's working for them in our own packaged product sales. Plus, I've got a big mistake that I saw them make, which frankly, you are likely making as well. And I'm going to tell you how to fix it to increase your sales. So let's get right into it. I'm Allie Ball, former grocery buyer and retail store manager turned wholesale consultant. In my role on the retail floor, I saw delicious, values-driven brands fail on our shelves simply because they didn't understand the behind-the-scenes of wholesale. I created the Food Biz Wiz podcast to give you hard-to-access insight from my career in the food industry and the tools and strategies to help you succeed on retail shelves. If you're a committed food founder who's looking to create and grow a packaged products business that positively impacts our food system, puts wealth back into your own hands, and employs members of your local community, you have found the right podcast. Let's do this. All right, Wizzes, here we go. Three sales strategies that we can borrow from Girl Scouts of America. I'm going to brag here for a second and tell you that I was the top seller in my Girl Scout troop for 3 years in a row. I got to go to the ceremony each year recognizing those top sellers, and I was really proud of the work that I put in as a little kid, you know, going door to door and selling those cookies. I mean, this was back in the 90s, so things were a little bit different. But I have to wonder if this helped ignite my love of sales and entrepreneurship. I mean, maybe, right? So I did go back to the Girl Scouts of America's website before writing this podcast episode, you know, just to check and see what they were up to in 2024 and how they may or may not be aligned with my current views. And I was really happy to see their FAQ section of their website answering some of my questions, such as whether or not they welcome trans girls into their troops. They do. And if they have any sort of religious affiliations, they don't. And whether or not they discuss social issues like sexuality, abortion, and such, you know, all of that is outlined on their website. I love how clear they were about it. Now, let me make the disclaimer that I am in no way affiliated with the Girl Scouts, but I do really appreciate the clarity on their website, and I do know that we can examine their cookie sales strategies and apply some very important lessons into our own businesses. So are you ready for this? I've got three strategies that we can borrow. I'm going to outline them, and then we'll dig deeper into each. So the first, having an engaging intro and hook in that buyer. The second is make the ask and anticipate the buyer's no's. And the third is offer a deal. Now, as I outline these three, I want you to listen and consider how you can use these strategies both in your direct-to-consumer sales pitches, like the Girl Scouts are doing here, but also in your wholesale pitches, when you speak to that wholesale buyer about carrying your product line. These lessons can be adapted to either sales situation, so I'll touch on each a bit here. Okay, so let me set the stage for you about an early encounter I had with a Girl Scout this season. It was a beautiful day in San Francisco, and I was walking past Dolores Park, one of my favorite green spaces in the city. So there I was, I rounded the corner, and sure enough, I saw a table set up with boxes of Girl Scout cookies, manned by several young girls in, you know, those classic green uniforms. I immediately knew what was happening, and I made this snap decision that I definitely did not want to buy cookies that day. I was walking my dog, Toby, and I didn't have cash on me, and I didn't want to carry boxes of cookies home. And frankly, I just didn't want the cookies in the house. But here's the thing. My dog loves kids. He saw their table and the girls made eye contact with him, and they started to get really excited as his tail started wagging and, you know, drew them in. So a young girl asked me, what his name was, and of course, I said Toby. She then asked if Toby had a favorite Girl Scout cookie, and I laughed, you know, saying that he probably wasn't allowed to eat cookies. And then she turned the question on me. What was my favorite Girl Scout cookie? I then admitted that it was Thin Mint, and sure enough, I mean, it was like it was freaking happening in slow motion. I realized that she was hooking me in. But, okay, I have seen enough demoers and savvy salespeople to know that thoughtful intro line, that thoughtful hook when I see one, and I wasn't really worried. I had no plans of buying cookies. So she took the convo further. She was like, oh yeah, you know, like, have you tried our newest flavor? She then rattled off some sort of silly name, right? Like rainbow sprinkle unicorn shortbread swirlies, you know, whatever the heck she said. I truly was trying hard to not pay attention at this point. And Toby, my dog, was starting to get bored and he was pulling towards the park there. So, you know, I didn't want to be rude. I admitted I hadn't tried the new flavored, and I found myself getting sucked into the conversation. So breaking down this play-by-play, we can see that first strategy here, having an engaging intro. It worked really well on me. She specifically asked me a question that she knew that I would have an answer to, right? What is your dog's name? And then what is your favorite cookie? They were both smart questions that drew me into a conversation, even a conversation I didn't want to be having. And they specifically weren't questions that I could answer with a yes or no reply. I mean, sure, yes, she then turned to the yes or no question when she asked if I had tried their new flavor this year. But first, she hooked me with that open-ended question. So how can you use this in your own sales strategies? If you are at a demo table, swap out your yes or no questions for open-ended ones. So instead of saying, you know, would you like to try Jenny's spicy mustard? How about, are you a ketchup or mustard person? Right? If they say ketchup, great. Now you can say you've got a mustard that will change their mind. If they say they're a mustard person, also great. Now you can say you've got the best mustard they've ever tried, right? Having this arsenal of open-ended questions to kick off a conversation is a fantastic tool to have for consumer-facing sales opportunities. So the same goes when pitching to a wholesale buyer. I can't tell you how many times I've been on the receiving end of a sales pitch, and the founder just turns into a robot trying to get out all the details about your brand before I get the chance to say anything as a buyer. So remember, wholesale buyers are humans too. Start those sales conversations by making it exactly that. A conversation. That sales pitch will feel so much more natural, and that buyer will respect that you didn't just spew out all of your brand information at them without any back and forth. So speaking of back and forth, let's continue on with our Girl Scout interaction. So after that back and forth about my dog and the cookie flavors, she went in for the offer. Did I want to buy Girl Scout cookies? Like I said, I was prepared for this. I did not want to buy cookies, and I had all of my excuses ready. You know, first I said, like, sorry, I don't have any cash on me today. You know, I was gesturing towards Toby and showing, right? Like, I've got my dog, I don't have any cash. That's not a problem, she replied. We now accept credit cards. I mean, God, of course they do. It's 2024. She was prepared for this. Okay, so, you know, I respond to something like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. I'm sorry, though. I'm walking Toby. I don't want to carry the cookies home with me. She said, that's okay. We now offer direct shipping to your door. You can buy now and I'll deliver them. Which flavors would you like? I mean, she was good at this. So let's pause here and recap the next strategy that she just put in place on me. She made the ask. And she anticipated my no. So did you catch that part where she just came out and asked me if I wanted to buy Girl Scout cookies today? I mean, no sugarcoating it, no dancing around the topic. She simply asked me. The 7-year-old had no shame in asking for what she wanted to happen next, for me to buy those cookies, right? From there, she anticipated my no. She likely already knew that I was going to say that I didn't have enough cash or that I didn't want to carry the cookies around, and she knew exactly what to say to make my no a non-issue. I mean, this likely came from experience in other interactions or maybe some sort of training that they did in her troop. I mean, I'm just guessing here. But the point is that she thought about it ahead of time, and she didn't have any hesitation with my no's, and she had responses for each of them. So again, thinking about you, like, how can you use this in your own sales strategies? First, coming out with a direct ask of what you want to happen next. I see founders make this mistake both direct to consumer and with wholesale pitches. So I need you to hear me when I say this. It is your responsibility to move the relationship forward with each interaction. So here's what it looks like with wholesale pitches. I typically see founders get through their sales pitches ending with something like, you know, so that's the story of Jenny's spicy mustard. Thanks so much for considering us for your shelves. Have a great day. Jenny, you just missed your shot here. So instead, I want to see you end your sales pitches by coming outright and saying what you want to happen next. So is it for them to open your follow-up sales email and review your sell sheet and your price list? Is it shipping samples for that buyer to consider? Is it getting them to write a first purchase order? I mean, ask for what you want, just like the Girl Scout did. And then with anticipating the no's, there is a reason why we have a whole training on this inside of Retail Ready. You have to know all the reasons why a buyer is going to say no to your product line. Again, whether that's direct-to-consumer buyer or wholesale buyer, and how you're going to respond. So what will you say when that buyer tells you that you're too expensive, or that they already carry something too similar to your product line, or that they've already reviewed your category this year, or that your shelf life is too short, right? We need responses for all of that, for every single no. So with that, I'm going to pause for a moment, and I'm going to drop in a resource that's going to help you with this exact thing. I'll be right back, and then we'll discuss that third sales strategy that worked. And a spoiler alert here, I bought the cookies, and I'm going to share what converted me in just one moment. This episode is supported by my free workbook on 100 wholesale buyer no's. Why would you want a list of 100 heartbreaking reasons why a buyer says no to your product line, or frankly, why they never call you back in the first place? Well, when you anticipate the no, you can prepare your rebuttal. And that's exactly what I'm walking you through in this free download. Find it directly in the show notes, and you are going to be one step closer to getting those wholesale buyers to trust you, trust your product line, and place a first order. All right, Wizzes, let's talk about that third sales strategy that we can borrow from the Girl Scouts. And let me just say this, I do hope you'll go grab that 100 buyer no list. Listen, sales can feel hard. This is exactly why I created Retail Ready, all through the lens of my time as a grocery buyer. Let's use all the tools, the tricks, the best practices that we can to give you a real shot at success. And it starts with knowing what language to speak to that wholesale buyer. So go grab my copy of the 100 Buyer No's workbook, linked directly in the show notes, and take a step forward with your sales pitch today. So back to this savvy Girl Scout. I had just told her that I didn't have any cash and that I didn't want to carry the cookies. And she had a response for both. I mean, fine, right? I thought, here we go. I was ready to move into the sales conversation. So I asked, how much do they cost? She said, 5 for $30. And hot damn, all I can say is this girl knew how to sell. She then launched into telling me about the free shipping if I bought more than 4 boxes and how that would solve my problem of not wanting to carry them home while I was walking Toby. I noticed how she subtly called my dog by his name, further reinforcing our relationship. I mean, seriously, this girl was great at sales, whether she was doing it intentionally or not. She explained to me how I was helping fund her annual activities like camping and volunteering at a food shelter, and she asked me if I had been a Girl Scout. I mean, she got me, okay? Fast forward, and I had given her my credit card, I had picked out 5 flavors, and I had them delivered to me the following week. Again, what's the big lesson here and how can you use it? In step three, she offered a deal. Instead of saying, you know, I asked her how much it cost. Instead of saying $6 a box, she said it's $5 for $30, making it seem like a deal if I bought multiple boxes. And you can do this with your own sales direct to consumer by offering free shipping or a discount at a certain threshold. And I love seeing this in your wholesale pitches. What time-sensitive offer can you make when pitching to that category manager? It can be as simple as buy 4 cases, get 1 free for the next 30 days. Buyers love incentives. So think about what strategic one you can offer if you don't get the immediate yes in your sales pitch. How can you sweeten the deal? Again, come out and state it clearly. And again, ask for the sale. So here I am a few weeks later and we've eaten all the cookies. Which brings me to one last thing that I wish had happened, and I want you to consider it as well. So we were polishing off the last of the Samoas, and I literally turned to my husband, and I was like, man, I wish I had bought another box of these. And then it dawned on me. If that Girl Scout had my info and had sent me a text or an email, I don't know, 2 to 3 weeks after I received my cookies, asking if I would like to place a reorder, I would have said yes. I mean, in fact, I probably would have bought another 5 boxes, doubling the sale she had made. All it would have taken was a check-in asking if I wanted a reorder. So why am I telling you this? Well, it's because I see founders forget about the follow-up after you land that new wholesale account or after the consumer places their first direct order. What happens to the relationship from there? So inside of our signature Retail Ready program, you use the sales and retailer tracker that we've custom built to help manage those touch points and the reorder reminders. The first delivery is just the beginning of that relationship. I want you to realize it's on you to follow up with those consumers and the accounts that you have worked so hard to land, asking if they're ready for a reorder. If so, great. If not, what actions can you deploy to increase sales and work towards that reorder? Hitting your sales goals is up to you. Don't let all your hard work go to waste by not following through to get those reorders. So let's recap those 3 sales strategies that I want you to borrow from the Girl Scouts. First one was have an engaging intro. This Girl Scout specifically asked me a question that she knew I'd have an emotional answer to, and it wasn't a question that I could answer with a yes or a no reply. So you can use this over your next demo table, at a trade show, in your sales pitches. Take the time to brainstorm those engaging questions now before you're next on the spot. Then secondly, make the offer and anticipate the no. So remember, she came out and asked me if I wanted to buy cookies. Well done. So I want you to take the confidence of a 7-year-old and come out and ask for what you want from that buyer. Then that Girl Scout anticipated my excuses. She already knew that I was going to say I didn't have cash or that I didn't want to carry cookies around. And she knew exactly what to say to make my no into a non-issue. So use that same strategy in your sales and go download my free 100 buyer no cheat sheet if you're stuck here. You can find that resource directly in our show notes. And then third, she offered a deal. Instead of saying it's $6 a box, she said $5 for $30, making it seem like a deal if I bought multiple boxes, which wasn't actually the case, right? It was still $6 a box, but good on her for trying that here. You can do the same. How can you entice that consumer or the buyer with a thoughtful, time-sensitive deal? And then lastly, while that Girl Scout did not follow up with me for a reorder, and frankly, I can understand why not, right? I could see there being very legitimate reasons why we don't want the Scouts directly continuing a relationship with their purchasers. Although, I'll say, Girl Scouts of America, if you are listening to this, I do think there are ways that you could automate this once you have our contact info for sales and delivery. Anyways, I didn't have a chance to place a reorder with the Girl Scout. But you do have a chance to learn from that lesson and ensure you've got a reorder strategy in place, both with your direct to consumers and your new and existing wholesale accounts. If you're listening to this and you are a Retail Ready student, Fast forward to the training on the coordinated kickoff and the reorder checklist inside of our course platform, or come back to our student group for support there. Okay, all right. With that, I want to know which of these strategies and best practices did you need to hear today? I want to know which you're going to test out this coming season and how it works for you. So come and let me know. Send me a DM on Instagram. I'm at foodbizwiz. I would love to have a conversation with you over there. Or find me on LinkedIn. I'll put both of those resources in the show notes, as well as that free 100 buyer note cheat sheet that we talked about in today's episode. And then one last thing, my whizzes, here is my request of you. Can you share this podcast episode with someone who needs to hear it today? So sending it to a fellow food founder, or if you are a service provider, passing it along to your clients or linking it up in a future newsletter would be so valuable to me. We can't get this free podcast in front of folks who need it without your help. So I would appreciate it if you took 30 seconds to pass it along to someone who is trying to grow their packaged products business. Thank you very much. So with that, I'll be right back here next week. I'll see you soon. Bye for now. Thanks for listening to Food Biz Wiz. If you're enjoying this podcast and the tools it gives you for growing your packaged product business, please subscribe so you never miss an episode. From one small business owner to another, I am deeply grateful for your support of this podcast, and I appreciate it when you share it with your fellow food founders, share it on social media, or leave me a review on your listening platform. Ready for more? Find out how we can work together at foodbizwiz.com. I'll see you right back here next week.